Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Srimad Bhagavatam, 3rd Canto, Chapter 25, The Glories of Devotional Service, Text 18. Gyana vairagya yuktena, bhakti yuktena chatmana, paripasyat yudasina, prakatincha hataujasam, jnana, knowledge, vairagya, renunciation, yuktena, equipped with bhakti, devotional service. Yuktena, equipped with cha, and atmana, by the mind. Paripashyati, one sees. Udasinam, indifferent. Prakritim, material existence. Cha, and hata ojasam, reduced in strength. In that position of self-realization, by practice of knowledge and renunciation in devotional service, one sees everything in the right perspective. He becomes indifferent to material existence, and the material influence acts less powerfully upon him. Purport. As the contamination of the germs of a particular disease can influence a weaker person, similarly, the influence of material nature or illusory energy can act on the weaker or conditioned soul, but not on the liberated soul. Self-realization is the position of the liberated state. One understands his constitutional position by knowledge and vairagya, renunciation. Without knowledge, one cannot have realization. The realization that one is the infinitesimal part and parcel of the Supreme Spirit makes him unattached to material conditional life. That is the beginning of devotional service. Unless one is liberated from material contamination, one cannot engage himself in the devotional service of the Lord. In this verse, therefore, it is stated, Jnana Vairagya Yuktena. When one is in full knowledge of one's constitutional position and is in the renounced order of life, detached from material attraction, then, by pure devotional service, bhakti yuktena, he can engage himself as a loving servant of the Lord. Paripashyati means that he can see everything in its right perspective. Then, the influence of material nature becomes almost nil. This is also confirmed in Bhagavad Gita, Brahmabhuta Prasanatma. When one is self-realized, he becomes happy and free from the influence of material nature. And at that time, he is freed from lamentation and hankering. The Lord states that position as Madbhaktim Labhate Param, the real state of beginning devotional service. Similarly, it is confirmed in the Narada Pancharatra that when the senses are purified, they can then be engaged in the devotional service of the Lord. One who is attached to material contamination cannot be a devotee. Om Jnana Chimanandasya Jnananjana Shalakaya Chakshumli Tamina Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha. Everyone likes to talk about nature these days because they think it is the sign of an intelligent human being to be concerned with the environment, how the air is, how the water is, what our relationship is with the other species of the world, our species becoming extinct, is the balance of nature being destroyed, how much pollution is in the air, how much pollution is in the water. And more people are trying to remember we should appreciate the beauty of nature, the beauty of the stars at night, the beauty of the mountains, the beauty of the meadows. When you talk about nature, this is what people think. Yes, all the things that are around us, the trees, the water, the plants, the earth, so on. Or else they think, when you say nature, they think my own nature, what I am. And that means to them my own idiosyncrasies, my own uniqueness, the special things about me that make me so attached to my false conception of myself. Both these conceptions of nature are wrong. If you simply think that nature is a collection of stars and rivers and mountains and earth, providing a medium by which you can live in and enjoy, then you have made a drastic mistake. Our radical presentation to human society is that it is not that nature is simply a collection of various features like oceans, rivers, and mountains. Nature is providing bodies. That is what Lord Krishna explains in Bhagavad Gita. Karya karanam karchate, hetu prakriti uchate. Nature is the source of all the causes and effects of this world. What exactly does that mean? Prabhupada always explained this verse in the purport and in lectures, that when you say nature is the source of all causes and effects, you are saying nature is the source of all bodies. In other words, nature is not something that you simply look out of the window. Or nature is not something that you simply live in. Nature is giving you bodies. And nature has a collection of different types of bodies because the living entity has different false tastes of enjoyment. Karya karanam karchate, hetu prakriti uchate, purusham sukadukanam. Nature is giving you the body, and once you are in that body, you are forced to act a certain way. Although nature is giving you the body, Prabhupada points out that this is very funny. That although nature is giving you the body, you get the blame for what you do in the body. Every body has packed within it a certain type of happiness and distress. When you say body, you're talking about senses. This is another one of our radical contributions to the understanding of humanity. First of all, when you talk about nature, it means that which is giving you bodies. Secondly, when you talk about the body, you mean senses. Indriyani Prani Ahu. Each body has a certain type of senses. And with those senses, you interact with material nature and try to enjoy. Krishna, as the overseer, knows in advance all the different types of contamination that we can have. As stated in the purport here, as the contamination of the germs of a particular disease can influence a weaker person, similarly the influence of material nature or illusory energy can act on the weaker or conditioned soul, but not on the liberated soul. In other words, when you're living in material nature, you are living in contamination. Sometimes a living entity is called Purusha, meaning he's trying to enjoy. He's not actually Purusha, he's not actually the enjoyer, but because of an envious attitude, he is forced to leave the spiritual world, come to the material world, and act out this contaminated tendency to be the enjoyer. Prabhupada was once explaining in Melbourne, Australia, that if you do not follow spiritual principles, you can fall even from the spiritual world into the material world. What was the example he gave? At that time, he gave a very contemporary example. President Nixon, the president of the USA who was thrown down out of office, Prabhupada explained, once he had a high post, but he misused it, down he came. So, when we misuse our independence, then we enter into a contaminated material atmosphere by which we think I can enjoy. What is the contamination in the material atmosphere? The three modes of material nature. In Bhagavad Gita, Krishna also explains, Purusha Prakriti Stohi Bhunkte Prakriti Janguna. The living entity is a false enjoyer. All his attempts at enjoying always fail, yet he still thinks, I am the enjoyer. What is it that makes this happen? Because as soon as you want to imitate Krishna, you are saddled with a false ego. And that false ego acts in goodness, passion, and ignorance. So, the false Purusha thinks Prakriti, material nature, is meant for my pleasure. You think when you look at nature that you are actually seeing everything that goes on. This verse, Lord Kapiladeva, talks about seeing everything in the right perspective. But when we have this attitude that I want to enjoy, you cannot see anything in the right perspective. You cannot see nature and all the things nature is doing. You don't understand that nature is providing you with bodies. You don't even understand that every body has its senses and its particular taste of false enjoyment that it's pursuing. So, you may say, I am the Purusha, I am the enjoyer, I am going to enjoy material nature. But actually, you cannot enjoy material nature per se. What you are actually enjoying is the three modes of material nature. That is what Krishna explains in Bhagavad Gita. Purusha Prakriti Stohi, Bhunte Prakriti Jangunan. Jangunan, the modes of material nature, that is what you are trying to relish. So if we want to begin to cure our disease of false enjoyment, then we must look at what is being presented for our false attempts to enjoy. That is the three modes of material nature. And according to our association with those modes, we get another body. So sometimes people like to say that there is just nature all around us, and each one of us as a human being is interacting with that nature in our own way. Each way is valid. That concoction that spreads throughout India, whatever path you take, whatever way you want, that is okay. That is now spread throughout the West. Whatever you think is the truth, that is the truth. In fact, there is no absolute truth. In fact, a real intelligent human being doesn't want truth. A real intelligent human being loves mystery and the lack of definite answers. An intelligent human being appreciates the complexity of life, and an intelligent human being is not afraid to admit, I don't understand the whole picture, I don't have definite answers. In fact, we don't want definite answers because that limits the enjoyment of life. If you just appreciate that around you is nature and it's full of complexities, and if you just are always meditating on nature, getting your own insights, getting your own meanings, getting your own inspirations, then that is very spiritual living. The word spiritual has become so misused because people don't understand the basic features of existence. They don't know what is nature, and they don't know what is their own nature. As we were hearing yesterday from His Holiness Umapati Swami, they have a complete misconception about what the self is. Either they think, I am the body, or else they think, we are all the supreme, but we have forgotten, and now we are packed in these bodies. But actually, once we break the walls of these bodies, then we are the supreme again. Or not that even we have forgotten we are the supreme. We have entered into these bodies because we found it, we thought it might be very interesting. We are the supreme, and we figured it's an interesting thing to have a human body and to be conditioned. And therefore, that is why we are in these bodies. Of course, as long as you have a faulty conception of yourself, everything you do is wrong. How can you understand yourself even in the spiritual way, even if you understand your spirit soul, if you do not understand the complete whole that you are part of, you are still wrong. So many people today are going around saying, oh yes, I am spiritual, yes, I am the soul, but they have no idea that they are part and parcel of Krishna. If you don't know what you are part of, if you don't know the whole that you are part of, that means you don't understand yourself as part. We also, as devotees, must remember that as soon as we say we are part of the whole, that means the part serves the whole. It is not that the part and the whole just coexist in mutual understanding. Oh, I am the part, you are the whole. Okay, I've gotten over my misunderstanding that I'm not the supreme. I know I'm just a part of everything. I know I'm just a child of God, and leave it at that. No, when you say that you are the part of the whole, it automatically implies subordination and service. And that is what we have come to the material world to forget, that we are meant to give pleasure to Krishna. Lord Kapila Dev is speaking this chapter for the benefit of human beings. But it is very difficult to find human beings today. Srila Prabhupada once said, "Excuse me if I don't mind saying it, but practically speaking, this Krishna consciousness movement is the first attempt to make human beings out of the people of this world." Of course, people today think because our economies are so developed and advanced, therefore, we are very advanced, our civilizations are very advanced, and things are happening in a very intelligent way. We just have to clear up a few mistakes that we're making. Economic development is no sign of human intelligence. This is another radical point that Prabhupada made. And he also said, people will not like him for saying it, and they will be offended, but the fact is, economic development is madness and nonsense. Now, what does that mean? You say, does that mean I should not earn a livelihood? There is a vast difference between earning a livelihood according to the proper path of human development, and there's a vast difference between that and what we know today as economic development. Today, each human being considers that my prime relationship with society is through the economy. I need a job. Never mind what that job is, never mind how that job contributes to the problems of the environment and society. I need a job. And when I have a job, then I feel fulfilled and I feel affirmed as a productive person. So the more people think that our economy and our nation is going very strongly, the more they feel optimistic about the future. They want to know, is the production increasing? Is the consumption increasing? Is the amount of jobs available, is that increasing? If that's all happening, then they feel, I am in a nice country, I am in a good country, and I have good leadership. Therefore, politicians are very afraid that if the economy seems to be going down while they are in office, they won't get elected. So therefore, actually, clever governments are always manipulating these so-called economic indicators, the figures for employment, the statistics for production, the statistics for how much money is being invested. The politicians are always pressuring, please manipulate these statistics. We want to look good while we are in office. And if you, as government ministers, manipulate the statistics, then we will make sure that you can go on the rest of your life in your bureaucratic post. What actually is this economic development? Prabhupada also explains that in a very wonderful way. Economic development is madness and nonsense. Actually, it is lust. When you think of the whole network and maze of economic activity that spans the globe, when you think of it as lust, then we are seeing rightly. Lust does not simply mean the individual sensual expression to be the enjoyer. Lust means the organized activity to be the enjoyer. And, they speculate, considers that we are both, or we are thrice, body, mind, and spirit. Therefore, you got to act to please your body. You've got to act to please your mind, and then you do a little spiritual cultivation to please the spiritual part of you. We're all those things, body, mind, and spirit, so you indulge in all of them. One very famous person from India who's traveling all over the world, his books are in 26 languages, he has 6 or 7 bestsellers, he poses himself as an Ayurvedic expert as well as being an expert in Western medical science. So he's telling everyone like this. We are the soul. We are not the body, but because the body houses the soul, therefore you should always cater to the indulgences of the body. You are the soul, but because you are in the body, you have to always act according to your sensual urges, because the body houses the soul. So people are, as always, confused as ever, because they will not hear from the right source. Our clarity, our understanding, comes by hearing from the ultimate. Just like in the beginning of this chapter, Kapilas Tattvasankhyata Bhagavan Atmamaya. Lord Kapiladev is speaking. We are going to hear from Lord Kapiladev. Shonakarishi, he's asking to Sutta Goswami, Kapilas Tattva-Sankhyata. I want to hear about Lord Kapiladeva who expounded Tattva, truth. Not anything vague that whatever you think, that is good. In fact, we don't need any definite knowledge. We want to be absorbed in the mysteries of life, the nuances, the insights. Each person should cultivate his own idiosyncrasies. Each person should value his own uniqueness. Each person should feel good about himself. If you can't love yourself, then you can't love others. Love who you are with all your faults. No, Lord Kapiladeva does not teach this nonsense. And Shonakarishi was not asking Sutta Goswami about Lord Kapiladeva in order to hear such nonsense. He said, Kapilas Tattva Sankhyata. I want to hear about Kapiladeva who expounds the truth. Bhagavan Atma Maya. He comes to this world through his own personal energies, his internal potency. That means he's not contaminated. Jata Swayam Aja Sakshad. Although he's unborn, he seems to take birth in this world. Directly, he appears in this world. Sakshad. He himself, Swayam, Jata, he seems to take birth, although he's Aja, unborn. Atma Pragyaptaye Nirnam. He's coming to disseminate transcendental knowledge in human society, Nirnam. But the problem is we don't have human society. Therefore, people rebel against authoritative knowledge, and then they wonder why they're so confused about themselves and why they can't figure out how a human being should act. And therefore, the only standard that the so-called most advanced countries of this world can offer is the passion of economic development. Build your nations like us. Produce more, consume more, and then your people will be happy. But even without going into the so-called happiness of the people, everybody knows you cannot go on producing according to the current pace. You're destroying the world, but no one can give it up. That is the nature of lust. In fact, even without taking into account environmental pollution, the more productive you become according to labor efficiency, the less jobs there are, because in order to compete with other countries, you have to always increase your production, how efficient you are. That means how to make the same thing with less workers. If you don't do that, you can't compete with other countries. Otherwise, your only alternative is to fight, to have war. That was Prabhupada's explanation of World War II. Prabhupada always has his unique historical insights. He sees everything in the right perspective. Germany had the best products, Prabhupada explained. They had the best manufacturing, the best brains for making precision products. And England was falsely restricting them. We have to keep the German products off the market. They're too good. So England, by its world influence at that time, arranged that the German products could not get out into the market. Therefore, the Germans had to fight. That was Prabhupada's explanation. Once again, the lust of economic development. Millions of people died, 50 million people in World War II, all out of lust for economic development. Yet today we still glorify those things. We still glorify economic development as the symptom of a healthy society. But what do these scriptures say? For human beings, they should understand this thing. Lord Kapiladeva came to speak to humans. A human is one who knows, tasyaiva heto prayate to kovido. Now labhyate yad brahmatam upayada. If you are intelligent, a kavi, you will not endeavor for anything that is available from the lower planetary system to the upper planetary system. In other words, you won't work. Prabhupada explained this verse in that way. Tasyaiva heta prayate to kovido. No work. No work for what? No work for fruitive gain. No work for economic development. Does that mean you simply lay down and do nothing? No. You are working to free yourself from ignorance. That is the actual purpose of human life. Otherwise, so many creatures are having economic development, having society much more organized than human beings can ever dream. If you know anything about ant society, you will see the ants can have a social organization far beyond any human dreams. All the ants are organized into worker ants, soldier ants, mother ants, nurse ants. Even in the ant nests, They have ants that are just standing by watching to see if in any department there's a deficiency. And they're versatile ants. They can plug into whatever area there's some deficiency. And the female ants, the queen ants, after conception, the female ant can decide what gender her children will be. She can also decide after conception when she's going to give birth. So how can human beings compete with that? They have such difficulty organizing their living arrangements, how people live together. But the ants have no problem at all in that. Human life is not meant for social organization according to that way of economic development. Human life is meant for work, how to decrease the ignorance. But there's no way that ignorance will decrease as long as there is this intense organized lust for economic development, which destroys the earth and also makes people without jobs. Prabhupada was very, very angry about how people think it is advancement that our society has come up with some new technological invention. And by that invention, we have production efficiency because we employ less workers. People are so foolish. They think we have advanced so much. Formerly it took 1,000 workers to make something. Now it only takes 100. Therefore our society is very nice. No, you have 900 people out of work. They're getting into trouble. Prabhupada explained that even from the material point of view, it is better to be busy than to be idle. And 900 people are out of work. 100 persons have a job running the technology. They're getting a big salary. And what are they doing with the salary? Intoxication, illicit sex, meat eating. So what is the point of all this? Even from the material point of view, it doesn't work. You're going to have millions of angry people. We don't have jobs. We don't know what to do. And then you're going to have a polluted earth, and no one can give it up because of lust. And where does the lust come from? I think I'm the enjoyer. Nature is here for me to enjoy. Nature owes me a chance to enjoy. Real understanding, real knowledge is something else. And that is what Lord Kapiladeva is giving. Understand that you are spirit soul. Understand that you are part of the complete whole, and the relationship is one of service. We are always looking to Krishna's pleasure. That is our job. That is our work. And the temple is a place where there is organized endeavor how to give pleasure to Krishna. And the more that we think, always, I am meant to be enjoyed by Krishna, I am meant to give pleasure to Krishna, then the more Krishna conscious we become. To work in that way requires the conviction that the service that has been given to me is the way to please Krishna. The service that has been given to me is not just some ordinary activity. It is devotional service. It is the means by which Krishna will come to me. Therefore, the bona fide spiritual master is always training his disciples that your activities are not normal. Krishna will come to you through this particular activity. That is how human society functions. This kind of understanding that I am meant for Krishna's pleasure, that is the goal of human development. And if there must be preliminary ways to get to that goal, then the whole point is to decrease the fruitive activities, decrease the hankering for material things. And while that preliminary decreasing of material hankering is going on, you must always have in full view the activities and behavior of those who are simply working for Krishna's pleasure. So our basic problem in preaching is that we do not have human beings. That is a difficult thing perhaps to accept, but according to the Vedic standard, that is so. People think they know everything about human life, how to organize, how to live individually. Even when they talk about spiritual knowledge, as is so popular in the West these days, still they are so confused. Nature will give them another body, what body they don't know. In this way, without actually surrendering to the ultimate truth, as expounded by Lord Kapiladeva, all attempts at understanding nature, all attempts at understanding individual human behavior and mass social behavior are doomed to failure. Are there any questions or comments? Do we have time? Very short. Do we have time? One minute. One minute question.
In Prabhupada's purport, he used the phrase that this is possible in the enhanced order of life. Can you explain what that means?
Yes, he says, in this verse, therefore it is stated, Jnana Vairagya Yuktena, when one is in full knowledge of one's constitutional position and is in the renounced order of life, detached from material attraction, then by pure devotional service, Bhakti Yuktena, he can engage himself as a loving service of the Lord. That is the purpose of the renounced order, to fully engage in the loving service of the Lord. Of course, Krishna in the Gita explains, Anashita Karma Phalam, Karyam Karma Karotiya. One is not a sannyasi simply by external characteristics. One is a sannyasi who acts simply for Krishna's pleasure. So that true nature of renunciation is available to everyone, regardless of what ashram they are in. Nevertheless, because a sannyas order is officially the renounced order, it is mentioned in that way. All glories to Srila Prabhupada.